Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Kernels. I'm Christopher Hooton, culture editor at The Independent, and I'm here with my colleague and good friend, Jacob Stolworthy. How are you doing, Jacob?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. How have you been doing this week? Where have you been? What have you been up to?
Oh, so I'm pretty jet lagged. I got back from LA.
Yeah, you did.
I did, and I went on a pilgrimage to interview Ann Dowd.
Yeah, kind of on our desk, it's been a bit of a running joke in a way that Jacob has this very strong love for supporting actress Ann Dowd, who you may know is from The Leftovers, the white cult smoking, I don't know what you call them.
Yeah, the Guilty Remnant.
The Guilty Remnant, yeah. Or the, in Handmaid's Tale, the Enforcer, what's her name?
Aunt Lydia.
Aunt Lydia, yeah.
Very terrifying women, formidable ladies.
Yeah, both fantastic characters. Also somewhat of a random actress, and yet you had a real, appreciation for her, and you made this trip happen. You know, we get a lot of interviews served up on a plate, you know, don't we, when it comes to studios or networks, or where they'll kind of move mountains for you to be able to talk to their talent,
yeah,
because they want to get shows out there. Not with Ann Dowd.
Not with Ann Dowd.
I've got to make this work.
I mean, the flight wasn't even booked until the day, 2 days before. it was really last minute, but I pushed it. I've been pushing it for months, and they came back and they're like, yeah, if you can get out of here, you've got an hour with her. So
by hook or by crook, you made it to LA, you got to the Four Seasons, you got in a suite with Ann Dowd. How was it? There was a lot of pressure riding on that.
A lot of pressure. And if it was anything less than what it was, I would have been disappointed. And what it was incredible. She was the most generous, kindest woman that I've ever interviewed. And she held my hand throughout. She just loved that I'd made the pilgrimage to come and see her. And she was just so, you can just tell she's like a mother of three who's just a really great actress. And she never expected to be a woman that people travel around the world to want to chat to. But now that she is, and she's 62, which is, a strange time to be peaking in your career.
Yeah.
She's absolutely loving it. And she gave me her spare tickets to the premiere as well. She was like, honey, you've got to go. You've got to go. So don't mention it. You've got to go. You doll. It was great.
That is great. I'm looking forward to reading it. I think maybe it's a thing about actors when they do peak later in their career, because someone like Bryan Cranston's a lovely guy.
Mm.
I think it adds a humility where they've known the struggle for a long time. So
certainly,
they're way more grateful when it does come.
Yeah, I guess so. It's a really funny one. I looked up Ann Dowd's what she's got coming out, and she's in the horror film Hereditary, playing yet another terrifying character. But she's in a lot, man. She's acting a lot, and you can just tell she's someone who's just getting these scripts in, and she's thinking, yeah, because these scripts weren't coming in 10, 20 years ago. So if they're coming in now, I'm just going to grab them. She's not slowing down. It's great. More Dowd for us.
Fucking Ann Dowd.
And The Handmaid's Tale is absolutely fantastic. Season 2, which I think is hitting Channel 4 in May, I believe.
Yeah.
So
it's a big time for TV at the moment, finally. It's been a bit quiet, but...
And then it all comes at the same time, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like it was quiet for a long time, and then Atlanta came back, which is kind of my favourite show maybe on TV, and then now this week we got Handmaid's Tale and Westworld, which we're kind of here to discuss today.
We are.
It's a strange beast. it's been accentuated and propelled by its own bigness, its own epicness. It was HBO were well, Game of Thrones is off season, everyone needs a big show to discuss and dissect.
Mm.
Hopefully Westworld will be it, and they've thrown all the money behind it, and I think press want it to work, and I think fans want it to work, so it's got everything on its side. But it's a strange old TV show.
It is a strange TV show. It's almost it's almost like the young cool kid who's getting in a right world, getting he's not getting picked on. he's just getting immense praise, and he's like, really? Okay, great, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
Because I think Westworld is a balmy TV show, but it's also got a lot of charm to it.
Yeah.
Its barminess has a charm.
I don't want to go in and give all the premise, because I feel just from the general like the way it's permeated into online culture, I think everyone probably has a rough idea of what it's about and everything anyway. But it is a very information heavy show, isn't it? It dishes out a lot of information. It wants you to question and wonder where it's going, and it's not so much about character as it is about working things out.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today, really, and whether it's this big, you know, the biggest Westworld fan would say it's this like intricate, it's like a Fabergé egg, you know, it's like beautifully designed, everything is in its right place, it's perfectly honed. And then the detractor would say it's convoluted, it's complicated for complicated sake, it's just trying to kind of, it's kind of writing itself into a corner and then making you think that that's actually all an imagined, amazing, like elaborate design.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I feel like in either camp, but maybe it kind of, there's peaks and valleys with both, but I don't know, the first season, like, is there's things for me I can get on board with. I can get on board with the look of the show. I mean, they've got so much money to spend, and it's such a beautiful set, you know, out there in the desert, and you never know what they're going to put in front of you from week to week, because, like, the show can go anywhere. It's not like a, you know, something more familial or like something based more in normality where there's only set ways. It could literally, they could go anywhere and do anything week to week. So that's always quite exciting. And I like westerns, and I like those settings. And I was really intrigued about the premise when I remember when we were first writing about it, it was going to happen.
Yeah.
When it was like, oh, HBO are going to reboot the 1973 film. I was like, that sounds amazing. And like, what a time to be writing about, can AI have a consciousness as we kind of head into that world? But then I feel like the show isn't actually that much about that. It set up all these philosophical questions about whether a robot can be conscious. And then rather than address them, went off on some like complete tangent about like, what is the maze? Who is Wyatt? And like all these things. And I don't know why that is. And I know the co-creators, who are a husband and wife, Lisa Joy and Jonathan Nolan, like had it all figured out from the start. And I don't know if it's a lack of confidence in a way or why they've gone down that route. But I mean, Jacob, as a fan of Lost, you must have some thoughts on this.
How did I know that was coming?
I know you. That's this stuff we're talking about. The kind of the questioning is something you enjoyed about Lost. So what do you make of this?
As a fan of ridiculously convoluted TV dramas, Jacob. But, yeah. I mean, I think Lost had a tougher task of it because it had more episodes. In many ways, actually, Lost didn't have a tough task of it because it had more episodes, so it could kind of parade as a show where it put the characters front and center, and then the mysteries were just like underlying. So at the end of it, you could be like, well, it wasn't really about the mysteries, it was about the characters. Whereas Westworld, they're like all in. Like they are, it is about the mystery. And it struck me rewatching season one ahead of season two that, and I think we spoke about this before, there aren't for me yet, like the characters are not what pulls me into this show. Like I like the actors. I love Jeffrey Wright, love Hopkins. I think Emma Rachel Wood is a terrific actress, and Tandy Newton is obviously, in for me, the best part of this show. But the characters themselves, they are literally kind of like just subservient to the story for viewers, I think. Like I can't imagine anyone going, like, you know how people love Jon Snow and Daenerys and all that. Can't imagine people like, yeah, Bernard, man. Like, I just can't imagine it.
Or, he's about one of the only people I bat for. Like, I quite enjoy Bernard. I enjoyed Robert Ford, Anthony Hopkins' character, but then they killed him off. They kind of Ned Starked him, you know, by building up this character and getting rid of him. Beyond that, like, I find Dolores so boring.
Well,
literally, when she comes on screen, I'm like, oh, God.
I'm hoping now, if it was like the whole season of her was, you know, leading to this realization of what Hopkins was trying to get her to do, which was make her own decisions and spark the rebellion and then start killing everyone. And yeah, we did have to go through a lot of boring scenes between Dolores and Teddy. Yes, Teddy, but also William before he becomes Man in Black, Ed Harris. Like, those scenes go on for a long time and they are boring. And like, I was watching my girlfriend and she's like, oh, these scenes are so beige. Like, she like literally would, and I'd be like excited because I knew where they were going to, the whole realization that he does turn into Man in Black. But at the same time, I'm like thinking, is it more than the sum of its parts? These particular, like, am I apologizing for these scenes, which are actually a bit tedious, because I know that the big twist that's going to come eventually, when it does come, is so big and so game changing, and fun. So I'm just kind of like anticipating. So I'm like I shouldn't be loving and praising this show as much as I should, because I don't think it's perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But for some reason, I would rewatch that season again, and I would sit through those scenes, and I will wait for the twist and enjoy it as much as I did the first time around. And the writing has got, there's something there, man. It's got to be strong for me to pull me back like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. In a way, like, you could say this is ironic or fitting. It feels like a video game. Mm. Where you enjoy the fun parts, and then when a cutscene comes on, you tend to just be like pressing B, like skip to that. I want to get to the fun stuff again. That's a little bit how I feel. I enjoy not just the shootouts, but you know, the moments where something's going on and it's like moving places new, and there's things unfolding, and then the bits in between where it's just like people kind of looking away into a western vista and saying vaguely pseudo-philosophical things. Right?
Well, yeah, because like James Marsden's character Teddy, he is literally like kind of rehashing like monologues that we see him say over and over again about like the valleys and like what his destiny and all this, and it is like you are watching those cutaways in a game. Now you said it is like that. It is like a video game, and it's hard to become invested in those scenes because you're like, well, you're just about to get shot and die in a minute.
Yeah, you say with that, it made me think recently about how we haven't really had a show in a while where the stakes high and you really care about them, and I think that's down to character. So you think of something like an experience of like Breaking Bad, where in season 4 when shit was going down there, and those episodes leading up to the Lily of the Valley one, where you were just like, oh my god, like this is, I care so much about these characters and what the hell is going to happen from this scene to the next. And that was because you cared so much, for better or worse, about Jesse or about Walt. And like you say, when it's like, is Maeve going to make it out, I'm kind of like, if she gets gunned down, I would not be that
really, because she's the one character who I am.
I mean,
like,
I do. I like her more than most, but it is, it's hard to kind of. I mean, it is still early on in the show, but I even can't imagine myself feeling that much heart about those characters later on.
Yeah, and it's something that's only hit me with the new season. I was like, am I excited? Why am I excited for Westworld? It's been off screen for 15 months, so I'm excited to see a new episode. The ending was great, so I'm excited to see what happens next. And I'm excited to see kind of where, you know, like, it is beautiful to look at. I'm excited to see what more beautiful scenery we get to see. Am I excited to see any of the characters again? Not really.
Yeah.
It was weird to think about that, because I am very much someone who, if the characters aren't kind of like the overriding thing, like the great characterization is not the thing that's pulling me in, I'm kind of, it all falls apart for me. But Westworld is this weird, like, blip where I'm, because I love it. I actually am loving it, and it's very easy to watch despite being completely ridiculous. And like, this kind of show that, you know, if you're a more casual viewer, would probably have to like read up a recap about to kind of get what had happened. Yeah. Like, because it is like they explain things at the end of it. It's like, I'm not sure, the bicameral mind. Yeah, I think it's this. No, it's not that. Oh, it's, you know, let me look it up just to be sure. Let me read it again just to be sure. It's all very complex.
It's a bit like Cluedo or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was Teddy in the lab with the sense of consciousness. I don't know.
Like, do you think it's this whole thing of being like, kind of being in the discussion? Because we were chatting about it the other morning, and it was so great to be kind of deciphering something and like kind of dissecting and going deep on a show on a Monday morning after it aired in the States the night before. For me, I haven't been doing that actively since, I mean, I'm not a big Game of Thrones fan, so, you know, and Walking Dead no one else watches apart from me now. So since Lost. So that's why I'm kind of remembering what it's like to be waiting a week for each episode.
It's true. I suppose.
And then dissecting it and going really deep on it, you know.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's a different experience. Like, you know, like, I'm, take like The Sopranos, which is, you know, my favourite show of all time. All those episodes are so enjoyable, but you wouldn't have a discussion about it, because it's more just like a thing, you watch it, you're blown away by it, and then you kind of move on. Whereas a show like this is more about the discussion you're going to have with friends and stuff, isn't it? And I mean, that might not be, that makes it, that fundamentally, I think, makes it not as artful as The Sopranos, because it's more just like a Rubik's Cube than it is like a piece of art. But it still has, there is still some value to that.
I think it's just fun. And yeah, like, because like other shows similar to The Sopranos in that respect, Mad Men that I loved, and Leftovers, which is in many ways like the antithesis of Westworld, in that it was literally just about the characters. And Damon Lindelof was like, yeah, the mysteries don't matter at all. Whereas Westworld is like, yeah, these are our characters, but look at all these mysteries that they're, you know, that we're presenting, these big old ideas that we're throwing your way. And like, now they're like playing around. Like, they did it subtly in the first season, but in the opening episode, which, it's, it's literally being held together by a piece of flimsy string. But it kind of, I don't know, I don't even think it knows it, actually. I was about to say it knows it. I don't think it does know it. But it's like presenting like potentially three different timelines that if you had just watched it and probably not read up on it afterwards, you probably wouldn't have realised that. Yeah. And it's like, it really banks on you wanting to do some reading up on it afterwards. And I like a show that has balls to do that. Because, you know, time is precious. There's a lot of TV shows out there. So you want to watch something that doesn't require you to then actually like kind of think about it afterwards, right? Like, you know, Westworld does that and I admire it for it.
Yeah.
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think sometimes it wages too much on that. Like it gives you so little of information. It's like you have to theorize because there's nothing else you could do. You can't explain it. So
yeah,
like I've just watched the just today watching the episode that's going to air this Sunday night, and it starts off really great. Like, not to give too much of a spoiler away, it like goes outside of the park into the real
interesting
world. And you're like, and these are way more slow moving scenes, and they're really interesting and really good. And then by the end, it's become about like, what is the thing? What is this thing? Is it a state of mind? Is it a place? Is it an object? And it's just kind of like, oh, guys, you were so close.
That's but so funny.
I don't know what I want from the show instead. I just think it's such an interesting premise. There's so many different like elements that they could draw on. Like, I love, for instance, that there's finally a film or TV show that's really about video gaming and about, it's such a big part of a lot of people's lives, and about side quests and the nature of those narratives and exploring them. That's interesting. It's interesting, the AI thing, that, again, even though it's a show about that, it doesn't really, for me, like, delve into it.
Mm.
It kind of this strand they're starting to work in now that they teased at in the last episode and comes on a bit stronger later about why the park exists and the kind of the corporate stuff involved that kind of almost feels a little bit Facebook-y. Mm. That's interesting too. And I kind of think they could just, everyone should just, in the writer's room, should be like, well, let's just like take a foot off the gas, just like play these scenes out a bit more fully and worry less about kind of stacking all of these different elements up in one episode.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm all for that. I mean, I they say they, because the first season was delayed, right? Because they wanted to flesh out the entire story, and I think they mapped 5 seasons out. Mm. Which to me suggests they know where it is going. I'm sure they'll add things and take things away as they go through, but I can't imagine now where we'll be with Westworld season 4. Like, I can't. It's like the opportunities are kind of endless, and yeah, it's easy to be endless if you keep throwing in like the hole in the ground, like, or like, you know,
yeah,
the star on the left wall, as you were, you know, oh, it, like, it's easy to do that because people just like add to the list of mysteries.
Yeah.
You know, and people will be lured back because people will all, like the Redditors, people on the internet will somehow tie it all together. They'll tie some meaning into all of it, even though Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy are probably like, there is no meaning to that.
Yeah.
They're probably getting ideas from these people, you know? Helping them write the show as they go.
Yeah.
Who, like, you know, who's to say they're not? Because,
well, they'd be stupid not to. And I think they've almost, I talked to them recently and they kind of basically said as much, which is like, they're so aware of that huge internet fan base that's talking about it that they feel like a duty to give them those things to, and if they're not making the show the right show that they should be if they're not doing that.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's going to be like a defining characteristic of a lot of TV of our times. Not all of it by any means. Like, one of the things I love about Atlanta is it's a complete character thing. It's very little plot. Like, I'm halfway through the second season it's airing at the moment.
Yeah.
And the plot of the characters has advanced barely a millimeter. But so much wonderful, rich stuff has happened with the characters. It's been great. But I think a lot of shows, because they've come at the same time as, not the advent of the internet, but the advent of discussing culture and content on the internet, that feeds into it. Whereas you think about all the shows that came out around the time of, like, The Sopranos and Mad Men, 6 Feet Under, all of those, they're very, like, very different beasts.
Yeah.
They feel as different to me now as, like, looking back at, like, films like Midnight Cowboy.
Yeah.
Seem like the films in terms of what they're aiming for. And it's interesting, and maybe that is what's going to define TV of the 2010s, and who knows if there'll be some sort of kind of backlash, or, like, not backlash, but just a natural turn away from that again.
Yeah. I think it's just, because those kind of shows are still there in a sense. Like I mentioned, The Leftovers, and you obviously have, like, miniseries, well, shows that start out as miniseries, like Big Little Lies, which then get so popular that they're like, no, continue this, turn it into a full-blown series. And it's all these, like, and Westworld is kind of, it was always designed as a Game of Thrones replacement, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was based on the film. And then now, like, obviously the TV show touches upon aspects of the film, but it's not, you know, you have the Yul Brynner character, who's obviously the Ed Harris character, and they go to, you know, medieval world or whatever in the film, they go to different parks, and we're obviously going to explore that as we go along, but Westworld is its own beast, in the same way that Big Little Lies season 2 will be its own beast. Hammy's Tale has gone off book now, Leftovers went off book after, you know, it's all got this source material that then they can kind of go, like, branching off into their own different directions. But the difference of Westworld being, it's the most mystery laden TV show I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So it's in danger of imploding.
Yeah.
But if it just keeps doing what it's been doing, I mean, the episode 1, it was long. Like, it was so long. And that's the thing, they're doing like multiple feature length episodes. And they've even said that the finale, season 2 finale, is going to be longer than the season 1 finale, which was 90 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's going to be
too long, that episode.
And it was long. You know, there's not really an appetite for that. Just do another episode.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm still on board with it. I'm still enjoying covering it. I'm still enjoying watching it as a fan. I feel like it's skating along and there's a potential shark jump in there.
Mm.
And I feel like there could be one week where it's time for us to say, this is bullshit, everyone. Just like,
you can guarantee,
get out the building, this is bullshit.
The minute everyone says that, it will become my favourite TV show.
Yeah. But to bring us kind of full circle, actually, back to Anne Dowd, back to The Handmaid's
Bring
Tale.
It back to Anne.
That's the thing I really like about The Handmaid's Tale. Like, before I watched it, part of me thought this is going to be a really overt Trump satire, and I'm not on board with that just because it's very obvious. It wasn't at all. I don't think it's a very political show.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, not in the sense of it doesn't attempt to ape any kind of current political things at all, which is great.
It's more religion, isn't it?
Yeah. And I also like that it is one of those premises, not unlike Westworld, where it's about this dystopian environment where everything, the world is completely different. But it does it in a way where you do really care about the characters, and the dialogue is wonderful, and it's all that is very intricately done. And I feel like that show is a really good marriage of character stuff with very plot driven as well.
Yeah, it's super super in sync with Margaret Atwood and her novel.
Yeah.
Like Bruce Miller, the guy who shows it, like, completely in sync with it. You know, anyone less would have done a botch job, to be honest. So it's yeah, I agree. And season 2 is like even more harrowing than the first. They because it is now off book, and it's like the world expansion that's taking place that you can tell is about to take place. It's so exciting, but it is quite it is contained.
Yeah.
Whereas Westworld, it's like, just, oh my god, it's so funny.
The next episode could be like on Mars.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Imagine you have a whole episode just like in like a Delos boardroom.
Yeah.
Like, why not? I mean, they would never do that, would they? They would never do that. But that would be so great.
Like the Fly episode, they would never do something like that.
Just like Tessa Thompson, like, stuck in a room with Bernard. Like, imagine the whole episode was Tessa Thompson and Bernard just trying to, like, escape.
David Lynch is like a consultant on this show.
JJ Abrams has been curbed for the day. David Lynch, you're in. Yeah, man, it's we'll see.
We'll see. It's gonna busy time. We feel like we're increasingly TV focused more than film at the moment.
Yeah.
We'll switch back as the summer lull where it's just blockbusters, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I've just come off West Walking Dead as well. Yeah. Which and Fear the Walking Dead is currently on, which is scoring rave reviews. People say it's better than the main show now.
So much content.
More content
than we could possibly cover ever.
It's it's actually really distressing. How many things we will never see. That's a conversation for another day.
I've actually let it go. I'm fine with it now.
Are you?
I know Netflix has got 700 shows this year. I'm okay if I'll have to pick and choose. I've made some kind of zen piece with it.
I need to reach that. I really do. But Netflix, there's too much of a good thing.
It's true.
Just less is more.
Yeah.
Look at Hulu. They've shown less is more. Really all you need is one.
Yeah.
Then they just, scoop all the awards.
Yeah.
From under Netflix and Amazon's nose. It's how to do it.
Take note.
Mm.
All right, well, thanks for doing this Westworld meander with me, Jacob.
Anytime.
And thanks, guys, for listening. If you have any thoughts on the show, we'd love to hear what you guys make of it as well. So hit us up on Twitter with any of your thoughts or any discussion topics or guests you'd like to see on the show coming up. All right.
And if anyone wants to listen to a Lost podcast.
Oh yeah, a second plug.
Absolute come on, liberty. Because it's J.J. Abrams and it's kind of tenuous. But if you like Lost,
listen to Jacob,
the Lost Boys,
other frequent Kennels collaborator Jack's Lost podcast. It's great.
Yeah, man.
Maybe we can get an Andoured podcast going.
Oh yeah, and then she would come on it.
She fucking better.
She would love to. Oh mate.
All right. Until next time. Thanks. Take care.
Douche.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.